Queer Theory is a podcast challenging anti-blackness through discussions of global, local, and popular culture from the perspective of Afro-Canadians who live different versions of ourselves to navigate everyday life. The podcast is available on Apple, Google, Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Podbeans, Radio Public, and Stitcher.
So good to see you. Long time since I saw you. How was your last little while since we saw each other?
Well, did we say hello to everybody?
We did. Hi, everybody. Hi, Darren. Hi, Tania, who will be rejoining us shortly, I'm sure. Who else is in there?
Hello, Techians, and welcome to the Black Multiverse Theory Podcast. And this is episode 34.
Yep.
Darren's in. I see Darren's in.
Yeah.
Are we both in the same thing?
Yeah, we're in. I see you here.
There are three people here. Did you start?
I did not start a live watch party. What am I doing? Are you okay?
This is not a watch party.
Oh, you're just in there.
Yes. I'm on the page. Here so I am on the page.
Okay, hold on. Wait. Scroll. Keep scrolling. Okay. Keep scrolling. See, it says under there. Okay. The problem was that you saw the decoy video. That's before the watch party video.
What happened? All right, okay. Here we go.
We're clear now. Yeah. Cleared for takeoff.
Invite all the people that I invited before.
Bloop, 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 bloop.
Omit the people that I did not want to invite.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so as we were saying, you went to go see Mellow Freak.
I went to go see Mellow Freak.
Mm-hmm.
It was wonderful and moving and all of the things. Riwo is completely so talented. Adna, also amazing. Extremely talented. And I'm not going to lie, I felt a way about LaShawn smiling so big while he was playing his bass because he also smiles big when he's playing with us. So I feel like, what's it? It must be the bass.
Is he double dipping?
It has to be the bass. He just looks gleeful and happy. And yeah, it was really, really excellent to see them and to see them live. I understand all the things now so much more than I understood before, I think. Yeah, but it was really good, and we did that last. We went live too on Black Multiverse at that show. So if you scroll up a little bit in the Facebook page, you'll be able to.
Who plays keys for Mellow Freak?
Isn't that Mr. Brown?
Cameron Brown, who's on here on this thing from downtown.
Downtown Cameron Brown's on here.
He's on here doing his
thing.
Wow,
look at us. Anyway, it was a really awesome show. I was definitely moved.
Yo.
They get the audience. There's a lot of audience interaction. Yeah.
Woo woo.
Excellent.
I like it.
Yeah. So that was the biggest thing that has happened to me. It's been really busy at the shop. We've been getting ready for
holidays.
These holidays of our lives. These holy holidays of our lives.
All the holidays. Whether you celebrate Christmas or Hanukkah or the winter solstice
or Kwanzaa.
Kwanzaa
is a fun one. I actually appreciate it a lot. So, yeah, it's been really busy getting ready for the holidays. And, you know, I guess the business end of things, like year end, planning what we want to do for next year. I sat down and had a conversation. I want to talk to you about a black book fair. Yeah, I'm wondering if we can do that with black authors in like March. You know how there's like that spillover.
How many black authors do you think we have here
in Edmonton? I think we could hit 10.
10 works.
Yeah, we have that Lucian guy who wrote that book. We have Odian. We have me.
You.
We have that girl who's actually really more famous than everybody else.
Yeah.
What's her name? It's like Nancy or Natasha or something. Michael Brudhagen brought up her name before. She also writes. People always ask me if I know her. So she seems like a more successful children's author book.
She doesn't do children's books.
Oh, she's an authoress. She does
young
adults.
Okay. UA books.
What's her name? She's
completely different.
Tell me her name.
I see her all the time.
It's not Nancy, is it?
It's not at all. So it's an A, to tell you the truth.
Okay. But even her, so that's 4. That's off the dome, right?
She's really.
Also, Eunice really has written a book, my client.
Eunice?
Yeah. Yes. So that's 5 people.
Yeah.
Off the top. I feel like if we searched, we could find 5 more.
Off the dome.
Correct. And also, Allison Clark, Malcolm Azania. Look at Darren Jordan.
Allison Clark is who we're talking about.
Yeah, that's what I realized.
I was going to say her name's Clark, but I can't remember if it's Anna or Allison. But Allison Clark, right off the dome, she definitely is. One, I just saw her. She just finished her European tour.
Wow. The laptop is not charging for some reason. Can you just make sure that the plug is solid over there? I'm so sorry. TT Sanuga, he said. Yeah. So, no, I didn't change anything, but. Yeah, so I would like, I'm told that it's too short notice to be able to pull it off. Who said that? One of my clients. But they
for when?
They don't know me. I'm thinking early March, like the BHM spillover. Okay. You know how people do Black History Month and then it's so full that in the early March there's some stuff? So that's what I'm thinking. Black History Month seems like super oversaturated now. More technicalities, difficulties. But that would be nice for people to come, meet authors, sign books. It's a nice thing. I don't think that we have a lot of stuff towards black music, towards black art, like visual arts. But we don't have, I don't think we have anything towards literature and black writers so far. Can you check this out? Pardon? Can you check this out? I'm hearing. You said check the sound. Sorry, I didn't know what you meant.
Okay, I guess you're already alive, so I'm going to change. Are you good?
You want to? Thanks. Do you want to swap it? Here, reverse it, flip it, and reverse it. Boom. I don't know what changed. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for sticking with us through these technical difficulties. So Jordan said, Darren said TT Sanuga as well, which is a local black author. So anyway, I thought that that might be a cool thing to do in the space. I think shortly we're going to have a meeting about next year and what that aphrodisiac calendar of events looks like. And you people out there in the world will put together an online visual for the aphrodisiac calendar so you can sync with your Google Cals if you need to. But it will be there and accessible for the world to see what we're doing. Sounds good?
Sounds great. Cameron Brown wanted to let us know that he had subbed in for the night.
Oh, he subbed in that night?
He subbed in. He's not the usual person.
Okay.
So he subbed in and he was an honorary guest.
Okay, okay.
And he went in.
Nice work.
Mmm.
In the clutch.
In the clutch.
So how was your week? Last week, some cool stuff happened. There was a play.
Right. So last week, we haven't been here for 2 weeks.
Yes.
So much stuff.
So
that
many
my brain's
things.
Like trying to filter through it. My phone finally smashed and broke. I finally got a replacement phone, and I got the Samsung
Galaxy
Note 10.
Note 10
Plus.
Plus.
So now we have the same phone.
Samesies. Except yours is more boring. I have the Aurora back. That's why I say that.
Mine's, back is mine's manly. I'm very black.
Oh, black is manly now? But well, mine is covered.
Here's the thing about me.
Colors are for not.
I feel that once you go black, you can never go.
Okay, there we go. All right, cool. So
I feel like that's what this Black Multiverse Theory podcast
is all about. This is it.
So I got a wicked case now. The case shows the numbers and text messages. I haven't figured
that
out yet.
Now?
Yeah, there's a wand that comes with it, which is like a stylus.
Patronus adamantium.
Okay. And it works really well with
the camera.
With the camera, and you can wave it, and you can do a bunch of stuff. Stuff I'm not sure how anybody would actually practically use it, but I get it.
Well, actually, so let me say this. You can use the button on the stylus to press your camera. So you can set your camera up. You can start recording. You can stop recording. You change stuff. You can start recording. You don't need to walk back and forth to your camera. Mm. You can do that with the wand. You can zoom in. You can zoom out with the wand away from your camera, so you don't have to press mad buttons.
I've been
stuff.
Trying to figure that out. So the sensitivity on mine might need to be like
raise it
because you. I'm there waving the wand around and nothing.
You have to press a button.
Nothing is happening.
You have to press a button and do it in a circular motion.
Yes.
Right circle zooms in, left circle zooms out.
Yeah, totally.
Now's not the time.
That's good. I'm not doing it though.
Okay, good.
Just I'm getting like, back on.
I'm like, do not do it right now, sir.
So that's one thing that happened. We had the Christmas, we had the church play, which happened the night after I got the Samsung Note.
Oh, nice. Did you get to take a ton of pictures and record a ton of things?
Yes, I just recorded a ton of things.
It was beautiful.
It was great. So my kids acting, which is hilarious at all times. My oldest son, he acts very shy at times. Mm-hmm. He did a great job. He spinned off his line and then smiled with his cute chubby cheek smile. And that was it. He was good. He was done.
You're done.
My second son, he played Zachariah, and he lost his voice because he questioned the angel, and the angel took his voice away, and he had a sign, and they're like, what's the baby's name? And then he had a sign which had the baby's name on it. And then miraculously, once the baby was born, Zachariah got his voice back, so my son got his voice back, and then he said his line. But as soon as he finished saying his line and realized that he got all the words right, he started jumping up and down. Like, hooray, I got the words right, yay. And started putting his hands up. Broke character immediately and turned right back into Nariah. I was like, never turn your back to the audience.
He's like, guys, I did it, guys. I did it.
all of video. Just great.
That's like, awesome. That's super awesome.
My girls had lines, but the play went a little bit long and they didn't make it to last rehearsal. So their lines are cut. So they're very annoyed by the fact that they memorized lines. And they're like, we memorized these lines.
Did you let them say it to you? Like, before. You were like, okay, say the lines to me.
No.
Act out the scene.
Before we went over their lines, they're like, Dad, I know it. And they said it to me, but they wanted to say it in front
of all the people.
Of said audience.
Oh.
And so, yes.
I would not have cut the people. We would just have to be there all night.
Unfortunately.
No. Sit down.
The 2 minutes of line was a lot. So they weren't able to do the line. And they were vexed that the guard is upset.
I agree. I back them 100% in that.
Later on in the week, we had the school play, which goes up to grade 3, where they have to do this. So Norai being in grade 4, he's not doing it. Nishan being grade 6, he's been done. And then now we have, and every time he did it, Nishan, every time he did it, he would get so nervous. And he didn't even have a major part. He just was singing in the choir with the kids. He would pick his nose.
That's what he does out of nerves.
The entire time.
That's the worst. Just your nervous reaction is so. Oh, poor guy.
And we're like, bro, he's like, get your head out of there. Yep. Naraya, last year, he was in grade 3. He had the lead. So he was saying his lines. He had all his lines. It was great. This year, Nayana didn't want to do a lead, so she sang. But Nyla wanted a lead, so she went for it and got it. She was Dovey, who was a dove.
It's obviously, right? It's a kid's play. It's like Dovey, who is a dove. I'm like,
is
okay.
He's a dove.
Very literal. Okay.
But she's the secretary for the inn.
Okay.
Where it was called the Inn Hotel or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And so the sheep are running this animal hotel for other animals.
Okay.
And Jesus waltzes in, you know, as a baby with his parents, and they need a place to stay at the animal inn. So Dovey's the secretary there, and she's kind of the lady at the front. And
that's cute.
She takes care of stuff. So she had quite a few lines. A couple of times, she just forgot to come in. So she's sitting there, and they're passing the mic, you know, it's a school, and they can't afford more than one mic.
Mic these kids up. Somebody go to Longa McQuaid and get these kids some lapel mics.
Two more mics. Just two. There's three other people, and God. The three of them are like, give me the mic, it's my turn.
Honestly, I blame you.
You blame me?
100%.
Okay, go ahead. Tell
these
me why.
Are your third and fourth children through the school, huh? And you have not yet put your investment in to rent the equipment for these kids. You know, and you're a sound.
You don't want to even know what investment I put in to get these kids to school, man.
Listen, I blame you. These kids should have had in-ear monitors. They're like, huh?
The whole school. Like, the amount of money I paid to send these kids to school. Each one should have a tablet, an iPad.
I need a special stage left.
They are unbelievable, these grade threes. But she did a great job.
Yeah.
I was really proud of them both. Nayana, even though she wasn't with her sister or had a speaking part, she literally sang the mess out of every song and did all the actions and all the stuff. She stayed there.
There's no small parts, only small actors.
She kept looking over at me, and I could see her in my camera, like looking
directly
right
into the
camera.
Lens of the camera.
I was like, okay, I got you, baby. I got you. And then I would turn like this and then come back quickly because I have to make sure
that you didn't miss her.
I'm catching both.
Right.
So that was good.
You really needed the two camera setup. That's what you really did. Well,
that was a Wednesday night. And then that was basically it. The phone, the plays. Yeah.
Those are the things. The soccer.
Right? Last week, soccer. They lost by one. The U11 boys lost by one. This week's soccer, they lost by one.
Also, okay.
All right. So they're really close in tier. They're really close. They're just losing by one.
They got to crank it over somehow.
Yeah. And then we got the U13 soccer. They lost horribly last week. And it was nobody's fault but their own. They literally had the advantage. They had double the amount of players as the other team. The other team was short players. They only had one substitution through the whole game. And they literally blew us out of the water. I think the score was somewhere like 10-3.
For no reason. These kids were just tired.
And they were just, and they shouldn't have been tired. Because each line got to switch.
50, no, just 000. Unmotivated.
Tired.
Like tired.
Tired from 8 o'clock in the morning.
Like tired.
They had to get up like 7:30 to get ready to drive across town to the soccer center. So today they won 7-3, and it was literally the opposite. Not everybody came out on their team, so they knew they had to work harder. They knew they had to be in position. Nishan did the most amazing goal today, which was phenomenal.
He did like a scissor kick?
Almost. He kicked the ball. They passed it in the center into the box. Mm-hmm. Right? He's shot at net and misses. Actually, he doesn't miss. He goes right at net, but it hits the goalie. The goalie, instead of catching it or anything, bats it down, which means the ball's still in play because he doesn't have possession of it. So Nishan goes for it, but the goalie uses his body to block Nishan and trips Nishan. So Nishan's on his back. He's fallen now onto his back. The ball goes up, hits the top of the net, comes back down, and from the floor, he uses his one hand to propel himself up and on his side and kicks it backwards, back into
the net,
inside the corner, blips, and everybody's like, wow! And they're like, that's what we're talking about, that shot. I hear parents like that's what we're talking about, this shot. So you don't
this
say
is
nothing.
My son.
I'm the one who
you don't talk to him at any time.
They put another child in there. He's usually on defense. His name is Mike. He's a great, great defenseman, like really good defenseman. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's getting used to it and, you know, getting used to running a lot and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So they shorthanded, so they put him as forward. And I yelled at Michael because Michael's not used to it. And I said, hey, Michael. I said, when you get there, you got to get right up to the goalie and make sure that if you're in the box, you're right up in front of the goalie. So when the ball comes, you just tip it right in. He's like, okay. And he never left the position ever for the whole game.
He's been waiting for the ball.
He's sitting there. They'll be struggling way on the other end, like his defenseman, and all the forwards have to come back. He's still there next to the goalie on the other side, like way on the other side. Any other game, it would be offside, but this is indoor, and it's like U13. So it's like, So he's sitting there and literally was the biggest asset to the team today.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was obstacle in front of the goalie. The goalie couldn't see. So the ball would come out of nowhere and just score.
We found this guy and distracted him.
Yeah. It's like, they kicked it to him once, and all he had to do was like kick it backwards into the net.
Hey, he was just like, something, buddy. Does your mom still make you sit in your car seat? Bro, stop talking to me. I gotta pay attention to the ball. Yeah, my mom says I still have to sit in your car seat too. Sometimes it's embarrassing. I thought when you said, stop talking to me. I'm supposed to be watching the ball. She packs the worst snacks. No, my mom packs good snacks. Oh, whoa. Here comes the ball out of nowhere.
He was awesome. I went to him. I said, hey, man, this is your first time. And he was walking with somebody who probably was his dad or whatever. I don't ask questions. And I don't know a lot of the players on that team or parents. But they do know my voice. I'm literally coaching from the stands.
Yeah, that's me too.
Literally coaching.
Eventually, the coach just starts telling the kids what I said. I'm like, thank you,
what she said. Just do what she said, please.
Take your time. Let them get the ball.
Thank you.
Hey, Tanya. Hey, Tanya.
Be from the stats. Tanya was talking about how she gets all into JoJo's game, and Janelle called me like, this is children's soccer. Why is my heart beating like this? Why am I getting this upset? I don't know if I can handle this. So these kids' sports really get us. I'm like, wait a minute. Do. I'm a parent. They do. This is what we've been watching. Was it like soccer moms and soccer dads and hockey moms? Like literally, I'm a basketball mom.
It's funny because we're different types of parents than other parents are. So there are some other people, like Sherelle told us about her mom. Her mom would talk
to come and socialize.
Come and socialize and talk to the whole crowd.
Everybody?
And not at least see she was any there. Of the goals.
At or least I was there.
She's like, what? She scored? What? You're like, lady. But me, I get into the game a lot.
I know you had that game. Did your parents come to your football games?
Yeah.
Mom and dad?
Dad came to more of like the end. Mm-hmm. Like he was like, listen, I work hard so that you can play these games. So go play your game. And when it's good, I'll come. Like when it's the end, when you make it to the finals, I'll come.
I'll come then.
So he used to do that. He used to come like to the final or a tournament. He'll come on the last day of the tournament.
In fairness, there's people who watch professional sports exactly the same way. Like, yeah. Basketball, like, okay, catch me in the playoffs.
Mm.
It's kind of so. I'm like, yeah.
My mom, though. Oh, wow. My mom was all in.
I feel like your mom was the coach from the stats.
All in. I remember first day playing football, just got my equipment, just got my jersey on the way in. We never even had a practice before the first game. We're playing JP. JP's been in football camp all summer.
I just whooped my daughter's team the other day.
Did they?
Whooped
him.
Yes. Yeah, it was so bad the eight showed up just to dampen the whiplash over there.
Take it, DC. Was that J. Percy Page or was that J.P. Jasper Place?
Oh, Compass sorry. You're right. That was J. Percy Page.
See, so
you're talking about Jasper Place.
Jasper Place.
We had this problem last week.
Yes. They came out with a group of hardback men. And we literally were like little boys.
They had
like,
chin straps already.
Chin straps, jock straps, beards, the whole thing. They came out and they're like, hey.
That ain't grown hairs already.
Your mom let you come out here. He's like, yeah. I'm only 14. You're looking at the book. And then I came out. And I'm like, I'm like thin. They don't know what I could do. So they're like, wide receiver? Let's try that. And I was like, okay. And
wide receiver.
The coach says, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do a jet pass. I'm like, coach, I don't know what that is. He's like, it's a pass where you run as far and as fast as you can. And when you're almost at the net, turn back and look up in the air for the ball. I said, oh, I can do that. I do it all the time. So I start running. I'm running. I beat out whoever I was beating out. And the ball's coming. And I look up and I'm like, yes. But the wind seemed to take the ball back. So I've ran too far. So I start running back to get the ball.
You're like, oh, no.
Right? And I ran back to get the ball and jumped in the air and tipped it with my fingers. And then got crushed, like in midair. I flipped upside down. Wind knocked out of me. Got speared. The guy came in.
Did you complete the pass? Did you complete the catch?
I did not. Touch the ball.
You're like, I absolutely did not. Did you hear the story?
Right? And I fell on my back.
Possession of the ball. So all I heard, advance the ball at all.
All I heard was, "Koosh," and I'm like, "Oh." So I'm on the ground and I'm holding it because all the air is knocked out.
Grown adults who get the air knocked out of them on a regular basis still as grown people. And it's their job.
Worse.
feeling.
It's a job. What job is that?
Football.
Oh yeah.
It's football.
But they practice, like, as an adult, you practice
the breathing,
keeping your belly and abs and all that stuff to make your belly strong to take the hit.
You know, the injury rate with football is 100% with pro football.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's something.
So then I'm lying on my back, trying to catch my breath, holding my stomach, and I hear, "My baby!" And I look like this. I pull off my helmet. I look at my mom. There's a crowd formed around me of children with the helmets on, you know? And she literally is helmet grabbing everybody's face mask and moving them out of the way. I'm pushing them off to get. Oh, and then she grabs me. And I'm like, "Mom, get off me. Get off me." Because she's on me.
She's like, "Oh, oh, yeah, oh, oh, she's
on
my baby."
And my mom, let me tell you something about my mom. My mom is a highly educated, registered nurse who went back to school to become a nursing instructor, who went back to school to get her master's, who went back to school to get her doctorate. At the time, she had her nursing degree diploma plus, she had her degree plus her teaching diploma to teach. And she literally turned into, "I have no clue how to do this medical thing. My baby is on the ground.
Somebody get some CPR in here."
My
like, what is she saying?
My Move. Baby is on the ground. My I'm not baby. Gonna do anything.
That's so funny.
And yeah, and next thing you know, that was it.
That was what?
That was it. She picked me up. I told her to go back and sit down, and I got walked off the thing. And the coach grabbed my helmet. I put my helmet back on, put my mouth guard in, and the whole works. And the coach didn't say anything. He waited till I got back on. He grabbed my helmet, and he said, "If you could touch it, you could catch it. Go sit down." Bloops. And he maybe sat down, and they never passed. He didn't pass to me again for that game.
Oh.
And then after that, I did not go a game without scoring one or two touchdowns.
Okay, wow, look at you.
So that was the...
You made a name for yourself, young man.
I did.
Mm-hmm. If you can touch it, you can catch it.
Yeah, if you can touch it, you can catch it. If you can touch it, you can catch it.
That's also a good slogan for safe sex. Okay, moving on. It is. I'm saying for teenagers in high school, you need a good slogan. I feel like that's a good one.
I think that is a great slogan. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a couple things I want to go over today. We have a lot to go through on the scroll. A few topics to go through on the scroll, but mm-hmm. we are going to push ahead with time.
Yeah.
And we also have a couple of beverages here. We have punch and cream.
Beverages.
What's it called? Punch and cream.
Punch and cream.
Punch and cream. Which my parents called punch and rum, which they probably use punch and rum to make the punch and cream or whatever. Taney has brought some of the delightfulness mm-hmm. of that.
Also, Stephen Simon dropped off his punch and cream. And Stephen Simon also dropped off, what, Greg?
Greg came in right as you said your slogan. That's nice. He's like, "You're going to sell it to Jurex."
Yes, Greg. And you.
If you can touch it, you can catch it.
Jurex.
Wear this. Put on your helmet.
I feel like it's a good one. We could sell it to Jurex.
Protection is key.
Yeah.
100%.
Honestly, they need to think about rate. Something new.
So we have the punch-a-cram. We have some sorrel here. Mm-hmm.
Now we have two punch-a-crams.
We have two punch-a-crams. We're going to try them out and go through that. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to get that set up while we talk about our first topic. I know there's one topic on here that you did not really want to touch on there. But I still kind of
see how fast I looked at you.
I still kind of
what you talking about?
We're talking about this young lady out in the States here who got kidnapped, then got returned, then staged the entire thing.
Apparently she staged this whole thing. That's what, if I'm really honest with you, I am not at all educated on this story, except that I saw her. Maybe she got somebody to abduct her or something. Oh, sorry, I bumped the camera. She got someone to abduct her. It's all you. It's all you right now. Wow, what the face. It's still not me, but it's okay. It's enough. A little tiny bit more. Just a sponge. Good?
Yeah, this is what we call the tinker time. We're in. Little tinkers with things, and then they move.
I'm gonna take my socks off.
This is fantastic. Is your feet hot?
Yes. So, yeah. So apparently, she had one of her friends abduct her in front of her mom or something. Mm. I don't know. And I saw a meme, and the meme was of a kid like this, like with the distressed face.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, it said her name, and it was like, this is what happened when a homegirl saw the news saw her own Amber Alert. It was like, oh, they looking for me.
They looking because she's
but her mom wasn't in on it or whatever. It was the girl that
so for those of you who don't know the story,
and
the video shows this girl and her mom walking down the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. So they're walking together, it's raining, they have umbrellas. Two men pull up beside. A car pulls up beside them. They're on the sidewalk. Two men jump out of the vehicle, grab the girl, and shove her into the car.
Mm-hmm.
Her mom's fighting, clawing at them as they take her daughter. And then they drive off. The mom immediately calls the police, calls every neighbor, everybody to find her daughter back. It goes into Amber Alert stage. People are like, yo, she's 16. And by the way, for those of you who go back and look at the picture, I dare you, Google this girl. I'm going to find her name right now. Google her and tell me if she doesn't look like she's 34 years old. She is supposed to be 16. No, I don't know why they put this 34-year-old lady on this thing when they know full well she's 16. She's 35 and telling people she's 16.
Another hoax, you think? Her age itself is a hoax.
Her age, I think she made up that she's 16.
Okay.
I think she was 16 once upon a time.
So what do you want to say about this thing? Like, it's not the majority of any of this stuff, right? It's just this girl being weird. Teenagers do weird stuff. They're just weird people.
First of all, teenagers do weird stuff. I agree. 100%. I did weird stuff, like... all sorts of stuff.
I used to run away all the time.
Pick my nose and run away. You know,
yeah, you people do something. You say run away like that, but like at the time, it was like, yo, stop it.
Yeah, I mean.
Teenagers do weird stuff.
But she diabolically.
She's like set the whole thing up. What was her plan? I don't even know what her plan was, guys.
Though.
Like the thing is,
was she gonna ransom her mom for what? The $100 in the mom's account? Like, we don't know how much her mom was making, but it can't be much.
Not enough for a ransom.
I don't even know if they got to the ransom stage. And at first I was very, very happy about this because I was like, another black person returned. With no ransom. They're like, you can have this one, please, sir. Please take back your daughter, please. We made a mistake.
The whole thing is, it's distressing. I don't like to think about it. That's literally what I said to you when you brought it up.
I find it hilarious.
Yeah.
The whole story is hilarious to me. They took the girl. I think within 24 hours, the Amber Alert went. They're looking for FBI's looking. They're like, just go back home and tell them you planned the whole thing. You're 16. They won't do anything. Now they're thinking of trying her for the use of
police, blah blah blah.
Yeah, city official.
Fine, but they need to try them white people who be calling the police on black people all the time. Then.
Wow.
Okay, you want to move You're on right. from
this? You're right. You're right.
That's all I'm saying. Keep that same energy.
Keep that same energy, playboy.
Yeah. Keep that same energy, playboy.
Keep that same energy, playboy.
You want to arrest me? You want to arrest me for using?
Yeah, mother and daughter, 16-year-old, and now they put her name on her. Her name is Carol Sanchez.
Why'd they do that to that girl?
Carol Sanchez. Two men sprang out of the car to grab Carol Sanchez. The Amber
Alert. Was it her people?
The Amber Alert and $2,500 reward. For anybody who can say who took
it. She did it for $2,500?
I think she turned herself in trying to get that rat somebody.
Thank you, I'll split it with you.
She's like, yo, I got a reward. I got a tip of where I am. I'm right here.
That's so silly. I did not even truly. I did not even read the whole thing. Like really, truly, I was like, I saw it, and then I was like, save it, and then I was like,
unbelievable.
I refused.
Unbelievable, and that's what's happening.
Okay, I want to talk about real quick. So Trump got impeached.
Trump did get impeached.
So one of three presidents to be impeached. Just so you know. Well, anyway, one of three. President to get impeached, but we all know that the vote has to pass the Senate in order for him to be removed. If you can hear this and you're from America, call your senators and make sure they know, you know, fax them, email them, do all the stuff that you have to do to make your senators act in your best interest so that they understand that their constituents do not want this. Now, I'm not sure in America if the Senate, oh, you have to shake it. Sorry, you really have to shake it. That's the number one rule of punch a crumb.
Thought we shook it already, but okay, go ahead.
You have to like turn it upside down because there's all the stuff is on the bottom, all the good stuff.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, so I guess that's the first part. I think that the thing that's concerning to me is that Donald Trump is like, it's a hoax. It didn't feel like good impeachment. So there's actually a portion of the country who like really think that the whole impeachment thing is a hoax, and it is certainly not a hoax. So I feel like if they vote to remove, why are you doing it like that? Oh, you're not having any?
Keep going with your topic.
If they vote to remove him, if they vote to remove him, I feel like they might have to like literally physically remove him, bro. I feel like some stuff might go down. But I also feel like the Senate is not going to make that vote. But I also feel like we've been like, oh, that's not going to happen, especially in American media recently. And they end up surprising us over and over again. Like, okay. It's true. Oh, Greg says if you're not super rich, politicians won't listen. Maybe. Okay.
I feel like a majority of Americans did not vote for this dude.
Yeah.
He still got into position.
Yeah.
He's firing all the people that could probably potentially get him out. Mm-hmm. He's fired them.
Yeah.
So
he took over the Supreme Court.
He took over the Supreme Court, which mm-hmm. we know. Mm-hmm. It got pretty stacked. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, people doubt the fact that he can go in. Plus, he's got a huge following of people that aren't really educated in politics.
Right.
And they just like the fact that he's a representative of
them.
Yeah. This is what the world, if you look at Donald Trump, this is how the world sees all of America is him. And he's literally what people are like, yeah, we are the best. We could do this. We're the greatest. We're this, we're that, we're
the
that.
The problem is that there's which no delivery fine. Behind that. There's no like character behind the personality.
Yeah, which so it, I like mean, it's fine to think that about stuff. Your country. It's fine to think that. Mm-hmm. It's just that they really feel like this guy is the embodiment of
America
of America. Mm-hmm. So that's why a lot of people aren't really taking it seriously either. He said it's hoax. They're like, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. That guy's scary to me.
You Trump?
Yeah. You want to talk about how white people are still mad at Michael Vick for some reason?
What happened with that?
Well, apparently the Pro Bowl or something decided that they were going to honor Michael Vick.
Yeah, I heard about that.
He's like, apparently Michael Vick has very impressive quarterback stats. Like,
his stats are unbelievable. He's probably the best ever played.
Yeah. So white folks feel like, no, he absolutely should not be honored or what have you. And then we also, like, there was a whole article, I think, in Medium that was like, yeah, so if you're still mad about Michael Vick, you might just be racist. And kind of went through the fact that apparently Michael Vick did a bunch of stuff I didn't even know he did in terms of
sentencing.
He did the time itself. He paid for the care and disposal and cleanup pretty much of the whole thing. He even went above and beyond. There's like, he joined the SPCA and went on the march against, like, stopping people who are dog fighting, and like, he did all of this extra stuff that they did not even require him to do, that really was above and beyond his sentence. He's apologized, he's like done all the things. People are comparing him to people like Roman Polanski, like people who have never had to face their.
I love to hear your viewpoint on it, because you are an avid dog lover. You love your dog.
I love my dog so much.
Yeah. She's such a great dog. She's such a great dog. She's
the greatest dog ever.
But a lot of people, like myself, don't want to have a dog. Okay. Right? Yeah. It's kind of like children. You know how it is.
It's a child for 15 years. Never grows up.
Yeah. And it's just like children. There are a lot of people that are like, man, your child is amazing. He's cute. He can do all sorts of stuff. And I just don't want children on my own. It's just one of those things that they don't want of their own.
Yeah.
And I look at it, and I look at Michael Vick, and I'm like, they kicked him out because a dog? I was like, really? Because a dog?
Actually, if you read it, they're egregious, the things that happened. Like, it's really bad. Like, I don't know if you read the stuff, but it's really cruel and unusual stuff. Like,
I have not read the stuff. The only thing I know is it's a dog.
They were, like, drowning and electrocuting. It's not just that it was dogs and dog fighting.
No, it was dog fighting. Just dog
fighting.
It's
not just dog fighting. It's dog fighting, but then when the dogs would lose, they would electrocute them or drown them.
And kill them?
And torture them.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, it was all kinds of crazy stuff. Yeah, it's rough to read. But also, the guy did mad stuff. Like, he financially paid. He paid in terms of time, like giving up time. He went to one of the harshest sentences.
I heard he wasn't even one of the ones doing the actual dog fight. It was just on his property.
I heard it was on his property, and maybe he had some money in it. Like, he had a dog or something.
Oh, like he bought a dog and was like,
I'm not sure. I don't want to absolve Charlie him. In there. I don't want to absolve him, because sometimes, like, really, like, you grow up in the hood, you do like weird shit.
Hood stuff, yeah.
Yeah. And you're not really thinking about it. And then you rise to a certain level and you're still doing some like hood stuff. And then after a while, somebody has to turn a mirror and be like, yo, this is not cool. For you to be like, oh, wait a minute. The whole time, this wasn't cool. Mm-hmm. And you just have to like understand it a little bit different. I don't know if that's what happens to this, but I highly doubt that he's like a complete psychopath, and then now he's doing all this stuff for what, you know? So anyway, the Pro Bowl wants to honor him, which has nothing to do at all with dog fighting also. And then the white folks got really mad, and then Nike signed him to an endorsement deal.
Yeah, which I heard about that. $2 million. Nike's like, here, okay, we're going to give you money.
Nike's like, who's doing this? Like, who's there? Who did this? Who's the person?
Yeah.
One day we're going to meet somebody. They're like, oh, I'm so-and-so endorsement contract so-and-so for Nike. You'll be like, you guys going to have a kufi on. And a dashiki. You're like, oh, this is it.
You're the dude.
Yeah, I think that Nike has different strategies probably, and this diversity strategy is definitely one that they're activating anyway.
Yeah, Greg says they went in because he's a famous name. He was the famous name.
They made
nobody knew any of the other people, but he was the famous name, and he had money into it.
Yeah,
he had money into it. So, I get it. I get what's happening with that. What else we got?
Okay, so really, this was about the Michael and the Nike endorsement deal. Apparently, the NHL is partnering with this organization called Rise.
Rise.
Rise stands for Ross Initiative in Sports.
Ross?
For Equality.
Hmm.
I'm a little bit leery about the word equality.
It's Ross?
Ross, not Ras.
I didn't say Ras.
R-O-S-S. Oh. Not like Ras.
Ras. They're partnering with the Ras. Ras.
Initiative
in sports for equality.
Right.
So why do you, I wish it you have a problem with equality?
I don't have a problem with equality. I get a little when we're talking about this, when we're talking about racial, because we're not talking about racial equality. We're talking about racial equity. So there's a little bit of a difference between equality and equity.
So this is equity?
This is equality. We should be talking about equity.
Mm. Okay.
The difference?
Yep.
You want to know?
Yeah, tell me the difference.
So like,
there's probably many of our listeners that would like want to know as well.
So like the difference in, so the difference for equality is that everybody gets the same thing.
Right.
The difference for equity is that everybody gets what's necessary to put everybody at the same level. If everyone gets the same thing, you're just forwarded an advancement, but the inequality is still going to be existent because we've equally distributed these things. So whatever the inequality is in there is still going to be existent. Equity means the person who has the least is going to get a little bit more. The person who has more is going to get a little bit less. But at the end of the day, we're all going to be at the same level. So equity is really the thing that we're striving for. White folks hate equity because it takes into consideration privilege and white privilege, and a lot of them don't think that it exists. So, equity, sometimes people are like, oh, he's getting more than I ever got. And you're like, yeah, but he kind of has no social support system, and, you know.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. I get it.
Yeah. So, apparently, they are looking to...
So they partnered with this. You're thinking equity, but they're partnering with Rise, though.
Yeah, to combat racism.
To combat racism. Yeah. So wouldn't it be equality? Equal rights?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess so.
Right, because I get with equity. Right, when you think about when I think about equity, the first thing I think about is a home.
Yeah,
you have a home for a while, then you get equity in that home because it has value in that home. Right,
that's a different meaning. Yeah.
And so when I think of equity, that's the first thing I'm like, okay. And people ask you this all the time when you go to the bank, and they're like, okay, so do you own your own home? And you're like, yes, I own my own home. And they're like, well, do you have any equity? And you're like, no, because I bought it in the boom and whatever, you know, whatever right. The circumstances.
Right.
So when I think about equity and your definition, you're absolutely 100% correct. But in this aspect, they are dealing with racism.
Sure. So the distinction between equity and equality, the language exists in people who are doing training, who are active on the front lines. So the reason why I get it is because language is often a signal for the information, for how real it is. So the presence of the word equity is like, okay, it's like a layman's thing. Like, so somebody who's like on the ground, on the foot soldier, doing the things, whether it's in research, whether it's in teaching, whether it's in writing books, there is a real difference between equity and inequality.
Got
and
it.
Equality just it creates a situation that is not fair still. It's inequitable.
And for the NHL to get into it,
They did.
Well, did you hear about the guy in Calgary?
That's probably why they were like, ugh.
So for those of you who don't know about Calgary, and Greg Davis has put it in the NHL in hockey, it is a bigger problem at the grassroots level, he's saying.
Yeah.
And in Calgary, there was this guy. They brought him over. He was working. He didn't quite fit in with the group. But the coach was, like, punching and swearing at them and doing racial slurs. And people are like, you know what? There's no room for that at all.
Sorry?
In the league.
The coach was physically assaulting him?
Physically assaulting the players.
All the players?
All the players.
Okay.
But that particular player with the racial slurs with the physical assault.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Wow.
So then he was like, well, I'm sorry, official apology letter. And people were like, mm-mm, out. All the Albertans that were phoning in to the radio stations and different places to comment.
They were like, get that guy out
of there. To get him out. Out. We need that coach out. There's no room for that. But what ends up happening in the NHL is they'll hire a guy who's old school, you know, like
quote unquote old school.
We need this old school guy to come in and fix things. So he comes in to fix it, and that's how he fixes it. He comes out with a hockey stick that's broken. He starts beating everybody and calling them names.
So weird.
And oh, you think you're better than me? And starts roughing up the players. And then next thing you know, they have a great team that makes it to the Stanley Cup. Or we could have just tried friendship and actual practice. It might just work. Just
that Stanley Cup team, they all have drinking problems. They're abusing their wives at home. They have several drugs.
You said drinking problems. There was a lot of cocaine happening, man.
Trust me, it started in small leagues. Like, not the cocaine, but I remember hockey boys in high school used to take Sudafed before games.
Bro.
Pseudoephedrine. Anyhow, so that's what's going on over there in the NHL. They're pretending to care about racism.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tanya's got it right here. She says she thinks a good example is affirmative action aimed at equity.
Is aimed at equity, yeah.
Our ability to vote is a step to equality. I like it. Good examples. So,
you know how white folks are like, I'm not racist, I hate everybody equally.
Yeah.
Right? But it still makes them racist because, like, black people was like, yeah, it's kind of like that.
Yeah.
People who say that are always racist 100% of the time.
100%. So if you're watching this podcast and you've said that.
No.
We talking about you.
We talk about you.
About you, about you,
about you. Okay. NBC News, apparently Fort Worth police officer. Somebody laughed at that. Apparently, Fort Worth police officer who fatally shot Atlantia Jefferson has been indicted, actually. One of the few police officers who got indicted for murder.
In the first degree. Murder was the case that they gave me.
True story, but three steps to this. The first part is the indictment. I'm told that you can get an indictment on a ham sandwich. So normally when cops are not indicted, it's because in some way the DA threw the case. Mm-hmm. Number two, who am I told that by? Probably Law and Order. Number three.
I was about to say. Boom.
Probably. Number two, but I watch a lot of law shows. Mm-hmm. Number two, they have to get convicted.
Conviction.
In Dallas.
In Dallas.
Dallas-Fort Worth.
Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas.
Number three.
Home of Beyonce.
Number three, after he gets convicted, we have to get over the sentencing hump where he doesn't get 4 years or something ridiculous like that.
We sentence you to five years community service. Five weeks. Time served.
They're like, guilty. Time served. Look how we did that.
Convicted already.
Give and take. This is compromise. You're like, no. Absolutely not. Yes. But Michael Vick. Anyways. So, yeah, that is like super, super great that at least step one is the guy got charged. I mean,
yeah,
that's hard enough as it is. Let's see where we go with that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. There was a thing I wanted to talk about this guy who has fostered over 50 young men in 12 years in New York City, which is black really cool. Guy. Single dad.
He's a single dad, and he fostered over 50 young men.
Over 12 years, yeah.
That is a lot.
Runs his foster home. He's got a bunch of rules and gives everybody a job and makes them accountable and has turned out some fine young men, apparently. He's like, at first, I didn't want to get involved because, you know, people are funny when you're a single man with the kids. I was like, this guy is old man. He sure is. He's like, but then I had to do something. Yeah. And he went ahead and did it. And
yeah. Straight up, I get like that when I'm talking to, like, the kids that I'm coaching.
You're like, no, hold on, stay over there.
When I first started coaching, it was
on top of your head.
It was hugs all around. The kids are like, coach, hug, and they're hugging me, and I'm like, hey man. I look at their parents like, hey, okay, not too long. No. Like, I don't want you to feel no waves, right? But after a while, I realized this is the bond that you create with your teammates and stuff like that. And what he's doing right now, especially out in the States, he's from where?
New York.
He's from New York
City, yeah.
And it's important.
New York City.
Because it's important to have positive male role models in male lives.
Yeah,
it just is.
I imagine it's a each one reach one kind of a thing, you know? Like if it's 50 people come through, if you were one of the first set, it's 12 years later, it's quite likely that you might be mentoring. Mm-hmm. The first set might be older, still involved with him. So it's like it's a network he's creating because he's not fostering these kids in a vacuum. They have access to the other kids.
No, they probably fostered. Come visit and Christmas must be crazy.
Probably a lot of fun.
It must be awesome.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yes. And what's up? I think we're going now to on the screen. Did we?
We're going to the punching room.
Yeah, we're gonna drink.
First. I mean the punching cream. The punch cream. The punch cream.
Okay, first punch cream is Tania.
Tania.
Now this punch cream I had a little bit earlier. It is much thicker.
Tika Rich.
Cheers.
This is how my friend likes
it. Cheers.
This is a my life. See, the problem with cheers is immediately after you clink the glass, you have to drink. But I was still talking.
I'm sorry.
Cheers.
It took a long time.
It tastes different without the ice.
It is strong.
Thanks, Tanya.
Okay.
Boy, it's warm.
It's hot.
So this is good for winter.
Tanya's winter crepe is definitely warming.
This is me on the job tomorrow.
Ooh, yeah. It's warming.
It's very warming.
It's thick.
In the throat.
And it's very nice and spicy and seasoned. She told me she had a secret in there. And I don't remember what it was earlier.
It's probably because it was a secret.
I probably shouldn't repeat it.
This here. This is how my friend likes his women. Tikanerich.
Okay. Tania's punch of cream is an ice punch of cream. Like, you could comfortably have some ice in here, hold it, talk to people, swirl the ice, drink a little bit, talk to people. This is going to last the length. Yeah, it's going to last you night. And also, it is strong. It is strong.
Here, give me a glass. You'll finish. Alright, so
Tanya's punch of cream is strong.
This one is another one.
This is Stephen Simon punch of cream.
It is thinner.
Look at this is called legs. Not with punch of cream, but an actual alcohol. If you go like this, the longer it takes the alcohol to run down the glass is the more alcohol in the glass, I think it is. It's called legs. That's what they do when they're going like this and looking at wine and whiskey. That's what you're looking at, the legs on it.
So the longer it takes to come down off
the glass. You can't really tell with the cream. It's more an alcohol thing.
You can't really tell with this?
No, because it's
cream. Still on the because side
it
walls.
It doesn't work with cream. Wow. It works with like wine and stuff. Okay. It's still on the walls, yes.
Okie dokie.
Okay, cheers.
This one's nutmeggy. I like it.
A lot of nutmeg.
Mm-hmm. Thin. It's like a eggnog.
It's not this bad. This definitely tastes more eggnoggy. Mm-hmm. I would just drink this.
Yeah, he'd be like, drink all day. The bottle would be empty by the end of the day.
I would drink it.
Tedious is more like a one cupper.
Yes, also.
It is a one cupper.
You get all kind of conversation with Tedious. By the end of it, you'd be like, let me tell you about that, hussy.
This is where Uncle comes in during the Christmas and is like, what? You want to talk about something? Let me tell you about something.
Let me tell you about your mother.
You don't know about your mother.
It was a hussy today. It was a hussy back in the day.
Before your mother met your father, there was about 3 or 4 boys she was talking to at the same time, you know. And we're like, sorry, Uncle. No need for that.
Steven Simons.
This is really good, Steven.
They're very different.
Very, very different.
Okay. Ooh. Steven seems like it has a reasonable amount of alcohol in it.
This is why Tadia was acting so nice.
When she was like, hi! Yeah, you know how I knew I was in trouble? Because she messaged me with eyeballs first. When I see eyeballs first, she's like, Bish, what are you doing? I'm like, what? I don't know. What's up? I'm day drinking. I'm coming over right now.
This right here is one of the greatest drinks I've ever had, which is sorrel. And I got introduced to the non-alcoholic version. At a young age.
Young pup.
And we used to make it at home. Mm-hmm. But these are some of the things that I regret as a child not learning.
How to make it? Oh.
You know?
Yeah. You can learn this at any time. Cheers, everybody. Here's the sorrel. High in vitamin C actually lowers your blood pressure or something. Mm. This is a clovey one. Mm.
Steven again?
Not Maggie again? It's clovey. Are you used to ginger?
It's more juicy. No. Let me tell you something. Hold on a minute. Let me tell you something straight up. Let me tell you something.
You looked at me just now like I violated. Did I violate you?
Let me tell you something straight up. Okay, all you people watching this thing, and especially my people from different islands and thing, you don't need ginger in everything. You don't need it in everything. Yes, it's not necessary.
It's better.
It's not necessary in everything.
It helps. It helps. Ginger.
No. It doesn't.
I hate the scratching of my throat,
the burning.
Oh, I love it.
I hate that.
I need to sidebar for a second. All the time. I need to order some ginger beer from those ladies that were set up at
KDM.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. That needs
Unfortunately,
to go down.
Right after
I
the thing.
I love ginger beer.
She went on the Jamrock cruise. When she goes back, you can touch base with her. All right. She's on that Jamrock cruise right now. She's having a good time.
With Bougie over there?
With Coffee. Coffee was actually on the cruise with her.
Yeah. Yeah, that Jamrock cruise. I wanted to go before they came out with the Uber Super Cruise.
I guess Bougie was there too.
Bougie was there. We just watched it live.
Yeah, we just watched that live. So Steve, right?
Steven Simon.
Steven Simon.
Mm-hmm. It's 20 and 30.
I don't mind it. I would like it cold, like cold, cold, cold.
Ice cold.
Mm-hmm. That would be really nice, ice cold. I like it. I don't think it's very sorrel-y. Like I'm used to a very strong.
Sorrel. Hibiscus.
Because this one's more of a juice. Like you could drink it and drink it and drink it.
Are you used to being it more syrupy or thicker or what?
Mm. Not syrupy, but it's. When I say juice, I'm talking about it's more water.
okay.
Than the actual thing. So it's not too bad. Are we ready to go onto the screen?
Yeah, I'm ready.
On the screen.
What you talking about?
The screen.
What you talking about?
Bad Boys. Bad Boys is coming up pretty soon. Bad Boys for Life. That looks like it's going to be great. Mm-hmm. You just were supposed to go see one, but I don't think you guys got to. Queen and Slim.
I didn't get to it.
It really was in the theaters for the shortest of the amounts of time.
It was a few weeks, Joker. Can we please somebody check and see
if Joker is
still playing in the theaters?
Joker!
We haven't done a Joker check in a couple weeks.
Let's do a Joker check. Mm. Is Joker still in the theaters, people? This is what we're trying to find. Cineplex. Cineplex.com. Search, select movie. Select movie. Select theater. Scrolling through.
So it's still available?
I don't see it. I think it actually left the theater, maybe.
Okay, wow. I wish we would have kept track of how long that was.
Well, we missed it, Dave.
We just missed last week. That's probably when they took it out.
Well, it came out October 4th, 2019.
Okay, so it had a solid 2-month run.
But watch this. In Edmonton, it's not in the theater, but it's still in the theater in other places. Look at the Cinema City Northgate. Is that here?
Yeah. No. Joker is still in theater.
It's available today, tomorrow, December 24th, 25th.
It's quite 26th. Available still.
Wow.
So, Joker check. Joker's still in the theaters.
That's a Joker check. We have coming up pretty soon Star Wars for all those Star Wars fans.
The day before yesterday,
my children were like,
Friday.
Dad, we totally gotta go say that. I was like, okay, take it easy.
So Mandalorian.
Which brings us to
watching Baby Yoda Chronicles.
Disney Plus.
The Baby Yoda Chronicles. The Mandalorian.
The Mandalorian, which is great.
I came to it for Baby Yoda. Not gonna lie. Was not disappointed. There's plenty of Baby Yoda in there. Also, not gonna lie. I'm still there for Baby Yoda, but the Mando story is really cool. As a casual Star Wars fan, I don't know if that's an oxymoron, like casual and fan and Star Wars, all those three words together. But as I don't necessarily know 100% of the lore and all that stuff. So one of the things I was saying that I really like about Star Wars, period, is that nobody is special in it. Like, they're zooming in on one person who, in a way, is just like one story in all. And there's usually, they're a part of like a bigger fleet usually, right? Like when we looked at The Force Awakens, John Boyega, who is also Bay, he was a stormtrooper. So this is one story about a stormtrooper.
Right.
R2-D2, there's like mad robots in there that look like R2-D2. And I'm like, of course there are. He was just one of the robots, right, of that time. And that's that is really cool. So Mandalorian is a group. What are they, like a tribe?
Yeah, they're a tribe and a group of.
They're not a race, though. They're like a tribe.
They're a tribe. They're almost like a religious sect. That
they're kind of like ninjas in that way.
Kind of. And you're able to join. The people who join them are called foundlings. So you are found in the ragtag
spoils of war,
you, for whatever reason. And we're finding out with Mandalorian, a great storyline.
Oh yeah. So yeah, I've definitely stayed for the storyline. It's really
is really fantastic.
Good. Yeah, it's really, really good.
It's fantastic.
The Witcher has started. We haven't watched it yet.
But we will.
But we will. I'm kind of excited for that. I definitely was looking for it before it was even out. Those fight scenes look dope. And I like all that stuff. I hope there's dragons in it.
Dope.
Mm-hmm. I definitely hope there's dragons in it. What else we got on the screen? I watched this movie called Mortal.
Mortal.
Yeah. This is funny. I'm talking about it and I'm like, I think it's Portuguese or something. That damn is French. It was French. Definitely French. And they dubbed over the mouth.
Mortal.
So they dubbed over the mouth. So that it was like, but I don't mind the dub so much.
So they dubbed a Portuguese one.
It was definitely French.
Mortalia. Mortality.
Mortal.
So it's in English, but it's
dubbed. It's in English, but it's they're talking French.
Mm.
So it's a lot of this.
Yeah, my they daughters, match the length my pretty daughters good don't like it.
So this is what's funny though. Sometimes the closed caption, like on the bottom, it has a different than the what the person is saying. Yeah, it's two different interpretations.
Always.
So at all times, you're trying to figure out which is the best one to go with. You're like, I'm gonna go with the closed caption because that makes more sense. But that was cool. That was like about them trying to make some child soldiers or something.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's something else that I watched that was really good that I watched lately. What was it?
Unbelievable.
That you was unbelievable.
You can't. That's unbelievable.
That was unbelievable.
It was
unbelievable. I can't even get into it. But if you get a chance, watch Unbelievable on Netflix. It was unbelievable. Like, wow. Wow, wow,
it was
wow.
So unbelievable. She told me the whole story.
So it just saved them the time.
Which is fine.
I'm going to really fast forward to the end.
It's one of those shows where it's interesting because it's based off true events.
Yeah.
But it's also one of those shows that some people just wouldn't get into. They wouldn't even start it.
It's you. What are you talking about? Some people, it's you. So, sure. Let's just try using I language.
Let's just stick with the language I chose. Okay.
Here's a roundabout Canadian passive-aggressive.
Here's the thing. Sometimes you go, and we all do this as Netflix and Disney Plus users. We all do this. We go in, we see the first 10 minutes, and we decide whether we're going to continue watching this thing or not.
I almost never put on action movies on my own accord.
See? And we figure it out. And I watch a lot of drama, heist, action, Japanime, anime, all sorts of stuff, right?
Yeah.
So I watch all these things, and I'm a huge fan of blaxploitation movies and black cast movies. So I will take time and put that on the list to watch it, no matter how goofy, no matter how weird it is, I'm gonna watch it. Mm-hmm. So I do not like a lot of rape based movies.
Oh, it's uncomfortable.
Sure. It's uncomfortable. It could be depressing. It could be whatever. But after you described it to me, it would probably be one that if I started watching it, I'd probably keep watching it, but I'd have to start. So after reading the title, I've been like, it's Law and Order, Special Victims Unit all over again. Every episode of that is rape. And to give you an example, I watched Law and Order Special Victims Unit. One day, I think about a month ago, and it came on, and I looked at it, and I was like, okay, wow, this is... Okay, let me find out if every episode's about rape. And it was about
bro,
this...
Bro, it's Special Victims Unit.
Yeah,
it's could be. The heinous yeah. sex crime.
Well, I guess so, right? But...
It's heinous sex
I guess crime. Special Victims Unit could also mean a robbery?
No. It doesn't fall under Special Victims Unit. They exactly. literally, like, these are the officers that investigate mm-hmm. the heinous sex crimes.
Mm-hmm.
The unit investigates sex crimes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So as you can see, she's a huge fan of heinous sex crimes.
I'm watching, a huge fan of Law and Order.
Watching heinous sex crimes.
Except Dick Wolf did some stuff.
Especially heinous sex crimes all the time. I'm not a big fan of watching them try and locate
this man the sex times,
which they don't.
You don't have to like it.
Exactly.
You don't have to watch it even. I understand that.
My point you are actually making.
Yeah, it's called trauma porn, and people don't like it. Some people do. Some people love to watch trauma. Some people
love watching this. Yeah. And so I don't like watching. The episode I watched, you know, I walked away from the episode just sad. Emotional. Just really sad and very upset.
That would have made you crazy, bro. But it's,
and the episode was about an old lady, you know, old folks home. Who has dementia that goes in and out and keeps telling people that he raped me. He raped me. And they're not really believing her. They're not really believing because she's a dementia.
I've seen
and then they had to go all the way around. And then they found another woman that was like, he raped me.
Yeah.
And he raped me. And they're like, who was it? They're trying to investigate.
It was one of the guys who worked there.
Yes. But not only that, but his mom was famous, and he was the son of a very famous older lady, and he had some sort of Freudian complex where he was like trying to get back at his mom. Mm-hmm. I was like,
I think it's Electra when it's women. It's Electra when it's women.
Huh?
Electra complex.
Whatever.
I knew you would whatever me.
Sure. So that's why I said
Murphy was on SNL last night, first time since 1980. Yeah, so that was really cool. I did not watch it because I don't know. I don't know what's going on with my cable. Like shame pretty much nothing. You. I don't know.
Shame on you.
I'm paying for it and not watching.
But I didn't watch it either. So it was actually something that we'll probably watch this week.
Yeah, probably catch up with it this week.
Yeah, so
DC.
That's that. Oh, I went back on Disney Plus. A lot of people are giving us giving Disney Plus a bad review because they're saying that it doesn't even have like the Avengers, the Avengers movies.
Oh, it doesn't have all of them
on it. And I watched the other day, and I went through, and I'm like, whoa, they got everything. They got the Sony ones when they took over Sony. They took all those, put those on Disney Plus. All those, so even though Sony's trying to take it back or whatever, they've already paid for all of that. So like all the Wolverines, all the X-Men's,
excited for Gargoyles.
I've been watching Gargoyles, and
it is
the
dramatic.
Black people that have been hired to do this. They have everybody on there. There's both Commander Riker, and Lieutenant Troy are on Gargoyles with regular voices on there. I was like, what? It's interesting. It's such an interesting
now that
show.
You say that, it makes sense as to why I liked it so much. I probably didn't even realize it as a kid. It was just this my two favorites again.
It is funny.
And Keith David, Bishop Greenleaf, is Goliath.
I also went to see you with the children, Frozen 2.
Oh, how was that?
It was good. It was good. It answered a lot of questions that a lot of people have. In the Frozen universe, your children can't just end when the movie credits go. There's a whole universe that they create behind it. And they expand the story a little bit.
So and it's that, in games and it's in so dolls. And it's
Anna and Elsa are the main characters. Their parents go on a ship, and they're going to be traveling for years or whatever on the ship.
That's where their parents are?
Yeah, they're on this boat.
While they're doing all this Frozen stuff, their parents are like,
no,
the way
their parents went or going somewhere
when they were younger
and died.
Crashed.
Right?
Okay.
But the extended story is that Tarzan was birthed on the ship and then ended up.
Oh, is this the thing where all the dudes in the universes are connected somehow?
I don't know, but maybe. So, then you find, you know, there's more to it than that. And the whole movie premise is just about there is a reason why you are not an innocent party in the world. You have to make right things that are not, that may not have been your fault, but are caused by your people.
Oh.
So it was a really good push towards. I wanted to talk about it on the Black Multiverse because of the fact that, you know, we talk about, you know, reparations, we talk about, you know, affirmative action, we talk about a lot of stuff, and white people are like, well, that's not my, I didn't have anything to do with that, blah, blah, blah. And even in Frozen, you know, Elsa and Anna had nothing to do with the conflict that started with a certain race of people, but
they had to work it out.
The very wind, the very elements came against them to have and brought them there so they could set it right.
Okay.
And so Elsa had to go in.
It's
and
about ancestral trauma, ancestral curses.
And use her powers to figure out what happened. Why are you mad at me? And then they're like, you're mad because this happened years ago before you were born.
Do you think Disney is trying to tell little white people that?
Okay, Disney.
Same guy, pad to the guy at Disney. Okay. There was a meme, Frozen related, but not Frozen 2 related. There's a meme that said, how tall is Olaf? And it says that Olaf is 5'2". And then it has a picture of Olaf, and then it has a picture of Anna and Elsa, who are like, look like full grown people. They're like, what? These girls are like 10 feet tall. Okay. Frozen 2, good review. All right.
My kids gave it a good review.
I'm sure the children said thumbs up.
Yeah. And that's where we're at. We know the upcoming events.
What you saying? Oh, upcoming events?
Are we doing that?
Yeah, let's do it now.
Upcoming, well.
Tell us what's in your ears, upcoming events.
What's in your
ears? We had 1 week off, and now we don't know the orders of anything.
So what's in my ears is Bujabantan's music. Trust.
Minotaur's phone.
Minotaur's phone. So Buju has come out, and he is back live in effect. With his track Mina Trust One, it's Trust. A lot of mixed reviews on it. A lot of people are like, Buju Banton's not staying with his original course of action where his music is going. He's sold out to the world. But actually,
he had a mix of songs in the first place.
And he's always been had a dance hall flavor and a political activist flavor.
Both.
And he's always pushing a message with every song.
The song has a message in it.
The song is a mad message.
The lady, the gentleman clearly does not trust phone.
If you want to check out the message, go to.
Demo sell you out.
Go to Bujabantan live at Jamrock, and he actually stops the song after every stanza and explains why you're not just food. Wow. And that's it. And that's from me and Awadi.
I've been listening to the sounds of Masego. And the other day, somebody was like, what on Masego's internet is going on here? And I was like, yes. That's it. So I've been mad late. So Anderson .Paak, I just got into him and started figuring out who he was. Masego, I just got into him. And, you know.
That's some .Paak. Okay.
I'm mad late. I know.
I'm a few of them, eh?
I know you've been saying them in literally every other episode that we've had. Sure. Yep. Got it. But I'm here. Listen to them. And it's really cool. Actually, I decided that this year, I'm like, yo, people stay talking about music nowadays. But music nowadays is fine. You just have to, like, you have to go and get it. You cannot, like, you cannot rely on mainstream.
You can't rely on the radio at
all. Right. Like, why are you waiting for these people to pick the songs for you to listen to anyway? Mm-hmm. Just listen to what you're going to listen to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, put it on your phone. Download it on your phone. If you trust phone.
It's so funny. Anyway, but yeah, music is good. Soon, DJ Jal's Soca.
DJ Jal.
To 2020 is coming up. I haven't been listening to Soca for a long time, probably since August.
Soca 2020. Or
September. So everything is going to sound new.
Fresh.
Yeah, fresh vegetable.
Fresh vegetable.
So I'm looking forward for that to drop. Do you have, we got upcoming events real quick, and then we're going to move into the word.
Upcoming events is New Year's Eve.
NYE, Sean Flavors, NYE New Year's Bash.
New Year's Bash.
Is it black and white?
I don't know. Oh. I know it's dress
Do
up, dress
have
up.
Something going?
I know it's dress up, dress up. You Christmas
I,
Day.
You know what I like to work towards?
What?
Is having like New Year's morning breakfast starting at 3 a.m.
Morning breakfast.
Like starting at 3 a.m. though.
Selfish and.
Yeah, early and morning. Bake? Yeah, Caribbean breakfast stuff.
Selfish and big.
Type of thing.
Aki.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Keep the lights low. Keep the music on.
Turn the lights down low.
Have people just be here, crash, and eat their thing, and chill out, and sit down, and lounge up. But I don't know if it will work here. Not all ideas. All ideas are good ideas in the idea phase.
Mm.
But.
We have coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I got a couple banquets. I got the Royal Banquet on December
28th. Royal.
The Royal Banquet is going to be lit. I'm going to be there doing my thing. I just finished. Oh, that was one of the things I did. The Bed Arrow Traditional Healing Society.
I heard it was.
Banquet. It was great. We had a great time with the karaoke.
Okay.
So the people came in with karaoke. It was a dry party, so there's no drinking.
You did a like big butts and
I did a couple songs there while I was there.
Just kidding.
I did a couple songs.
I'm just kidding.
One of them was Black Eyed Peas with one lady, which was very, very funny. There was a lot of things I learned out there, and that's, you know, everybody can sing, just not everybody sings all the time or professionally.
It doesn't need to be always be monetized. It's mm-hmm. not always a quality that can be monetized or right. should be monetized.
And I felt like in that scenario, a lot of people came up to me after and were like, yo, I really wanted to sing, but I couldn't get the
courage
to go up. I said, well, what do you think the worst thing that could happen to you is?
Right.
And they were like, well, I wouldn't want people to like laugh at me in front of my friends.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, so that lady who went up and was having trouble she was struggling to take every note on the piano and put them into the one song. Ugh. That person who was like succeeding at doing that, you think you were better than her or worse? And the person said, well, better. I'm like, but you still allowed her to go up and nobody laughed, and then you decided to sit in your seat and not go up because you thought people were gonna laugh. Weird. Trey Weird. So it was actually pretty good.
I love karaoke. It's one of my favorite things.
I enjoyed every second those ladies and I had fun, and the dudes that were there, we had a lot of fun.
So sounds like it was a good time.
Yeah.
What do we have in January?
January, we have a couple things in January.
New Year.
New Year's. New Year's. New Year's. So New Year's Day is usually church day for me. I used to do what is called a watch night service.
Okay, is that late night, New Year's night, into the daytime or something?
It's just till New Year's. And then what they do is they have a service. It starts about 10, 11-ish.
Oh, this is like midnight mass. We do the Catholics, we do this too.
And then they have drums, keyboards, full band, and they rock out, and then they have the last half an hour or so, 45 minutes, somebody comes in and kind of preaches about the new year. This is a new season. This is your new. This is when you come into what you want. Come on, everybody, praise the Lord. And that's what's going to happen for the whole night. And then after that, they do January 1st. They're like, everybody, I know it's 5 minutes after. 5 minutes after January, but Happy New Year. And then everybody says Happy New Year. In Florida, we used to sing a song that was like, Happy New Year, Happy New Year, we wish you, we wish you a Happy New Year. And then all the old ladies would come and hug you and squeeze you, and you'd go round and round the church, and everybody would go around, and that was the greatest time to sing that song. We used to play it all the time. And that's usually a New Year's tradition. I don't know if it's going to be the same this year. I don't
know. Okay. We have January 25th, Black History Month opening ceremonies.
Yes. 25th is that.
Do we have anything before that? We have a invite-only mixer January, but I don't know if that's a public thing. You don't know about that?
For the magazine.
You're on the list. Oh, we have the magazine launch, which is also on the 25th.
Which is also a mixer.
Yes, hard.
Hard.
Yeah, it might be here, allegedly.
I heard about that. It was pretty good. Greg told us.
Allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that's it. That's in the... We're going to have next week, we promise you, we'll have a full January and February Black History Month calendar ready for you. Starting next week, we'll be announcing all the Black History Month dates every week. So make sure you get to everything. A word.
It's Christmas time. We have a lot of families coming together. We have a lot of people coming together. And we have a lot of people that really... may or may not have anybody. So it's really important this year during the Christmas season to share love and to be consistent with it from now for the rest of your life, basically. Put out a little extra love. There are a lot of people that are homeless and motherless, fatherless, all types of things, and they are struggling to kind of figure out what they're going to do with their lives and stuff. And Christmas time could be hard for a lot of people.
It's an expensive time.
It's a time of great expense. First of all, a lot of people around the world put themselves in a lot of unnecessary debt. Trying to live up to certain things or trying to show people that they love them or whatever. And prove it through gifts.
Mm-hmm.
What ends up happening is a lot of people do not... they lose the meaning for the season. They lose the meaning of what Christmas is all about. And the meaning of Christmas is really about family. That's what Christ's birth is about, them having a child. Around the time if you're a Christian, and Christian faith is what you believe. And I know there are many religions and many people from many religions that watch this. So don't think this is just a Christian podcast. It's not. It is about being black. And so, but in Christian faith, that's what it was about. It was about Herod sending out soldiers to slaughter every one of the children in that age range.
Mm-hmm.
So this child, Jesus, who comes forth out of this, would be the only child from that area of that time of that age. That's really weird.
Definitely weird.
Right? Because if anybody asks them, hey, how old are you? 33. They'd be like, well, wait a minute. There's no 33-year-olds around. Zero.
Wow, that is weird.
So it's about family, because that family sacrificed everything to escape the slaughter, to move through, to have the baby in the manger. And you know the rest of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about bringing them together. Joseph did everything he could as a father to provide for his family. Mary did everything she could to keep that baby safe and to help protect
mm-hmm.
The baby. And the baby came out and did everything he could to save the world.
Mm-hmm.
As, you know, everything. So in Christmas season and the holidays, as you're gathering together with your family, the holidays, whether it's Hanukkah, winter solstice, Kwanzaa, it's all about family. And we're not talking about, just like.
What did you hear? You got a message?
There's like rubbing somewhere. It's anyways. So when you're with your family, it's about sharing. It's about sharing. Your family could be the friends that you surround yourself with. It could be that guy you met last week and you just want to share. Mm-hmm. And like us, I have many aspects of family. Like the band to me is like a family. Mm-hmm. And stuff like that. So share, pay it forward. Give somebody something unexpectedly that always is there, and just live your life. That's the word for the day.
All right, you guys.
Okay.
Thank you so much for joining us this week on
the Black Multiverse Theory podcast.
Are we going to, we'll announce that other thing that we're working on next week, maybe.
The magazine. Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
We'll talk to the group.
Okay.
That's our outro. Did someone say calendar? Ooh.